So this is our like first back to it episode.
Yeah, our first
in like months.
Absolutely.
Absolutely months. This all sprung out of me going off about something that pissed me off on TikTok, like I do very often, and you being like, "We should record this."
I didn't say that. I said.
You said, I said it, and then you were like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
This is, it's semantics, babe.
It is important that we are accurate. In everything that we say and do, we will be held accountable one day by, God.
Disney.
Yeah, same thing.
Would you like to recap what we were talking about so we can get back into it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, basically, we were in the shower. I was just chilling out. Laz was watching TikToks because he cannot stop watching TikToks ever. And came across a TikTok that was talking about the like ravings of this one person on TikTok who is just not into men who watch porn, and anyone who is into men that watch porn is crazy. And
they were like super anti-porn, which is fine, which is
yeah, absolutely.
They were anti-porn because and they were anti-men who watch porn because there's a correlation between men who watch porn and sexual aggression and sexual assault. And they were, like, basically being really degrading to men who do watch porn as, like, they're disgusting and gross and da-da-da-da-da. And all this just bullshit. And then they were, like, shitty towards sex workers in their caption, too.
Yeah. It was, like, no hate to sex workers, but it's time to move on, babe, or something to that effect.
We should just break down this post and what's fucking wrong with it.
Yeah.
Without, so, like, adding.
Starting off at the top, porn is not optional for most individuals anymore in life. Just
especially
period.
Gen Z, Gen Z millennial to like everything coming below us, porn is not like an optional thing to not view unless your parents are like hyper controlling your life, and even then fucking kids are gonna get around that. If they're told they can't do something, especially if you're like a young preteen, you're gonna fucking do it harder.
Yeah, not to say that there isn't people out there who have gone their entire lives with, like, not, like, actively consuming porn. Not looking at it, not reading it, like, they just, like, kind of avoid it. Like, a lot of the times people find it a little disgusting. A lot of people, like,
yeah.
It's always like an I don't need that kind of thing, or like,
a lot
I
of
don't
people
like
who
that
don't
thing
want to watch porn. But, say,
but you've seen it.
Yeah, everybody's seen it. So, and the thing about porn that I think a lot of people don't realize, and this is what we were talking about, kind of sprung up this whole conversation, is that I think a lot of people don't realize that porn with, like, a young minor, taking it in, especially if they're not meaning to, or even if they are, for fuck's sake, that is a form of sexual violation. Nobody, like, talks about that. Nobody talks about how there's probably a really large group of these men who have these a lot of these sexual issues that probably a lot of them come through their early consumption of porn throughout their entire life because they have been sexually traumatized. And there's a big connection between sexual trauma and sexual aggression. Like, these are just outright known things.
Yeah.
And nobody, like, makes these, like, bigger connections. Like, if you have, like, a 12-year-old boy, like, that's the analogy I gave you earlier. I think it's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 12-year-old boy walking down the street, minding his own business, turns into an alleyway, and just sees a fucking couple raw-dogging it. An adult couple just going at it in this alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's like, holy shit, and these adults just don't fucking move. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, they look at you.
Yeah, they look at you and they're just like, don't give a fuck. They just continue doing that. That by all terms in the law would be considered a sexual violation. You'd be registered as a sex offender for that.
Mm-hmm.
If that was reported. Same thing. Some kids walking down the street, boy or girl, under the age of 18, especially in the ages that like me and like most of the people I know, like some of my closest friends were introduced to porn, which is everywhere from 7 to 13.
Yep.
Walking down the street, sees some guy runs up and flashes them. That's everybody knows that is A-list sexual violation and a form of sexual trauma. Absolutely. That is horrible. And that person would be registered a sex offender. Now, even, like, let's take it a step further. Some kids in their own house, some guy goes on TikTok, and he talks about how when he was a kid, his mom and her boyfriend would regularly have sex in the living room in front of him. Mm-hmm. They never ask him to participate. They never make moves on him because that's, you know, they wouldn't. They would just do that. That would be horrific. Everybody would register that as horrific.
Yeah.
But when it's...
when it's an ad on the internet, when you're just, like, browsing around, doing whatever the fuck, you're, like, 12 years old, an ad comes up, and it's literally a man's dick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a fucking, like, dick enlargement ad and stuff like that, super sexually driven. Or if it's, like, a fucking cartoon woman getting fucked. That is class A flashing.
That just is sexual porn. And the thing is if a 13-year-old boy went out to go find and watch in a public space a couple raw dogging it in an alley, and they found them, and the couple just continued to do what they do, even if the kid was looking for it, that couple would still be registered as sex offenders.
And then you'd also, like, talk to this kid, mm-hmm. be like, what the fuck is going on? Is everything okay? Like, why are you seeking this out so
but,
bad? Like, that is a huge red flag.
There's
but then a lot of people will be like, oh, he's 13, he's watching porn, ha ha.
There's this weird huge shift in culture when the internet sprung up with young boys watching porn, where there's literally, like, this culture around, like, if, you know, your kid's watching porn and jacking off and they're 13 in their room, you know, just don't bother them. Let them experience life and grow and develop. And kids, you know, figuring themselves out sexually at a young age when it's appropriate and natural is not wrong at all, and that should be, like, that's their own space. But when you have the additive of porn of adult women and men, that is sexual assault. That is sexual violation.
Yeah.
And then when you start looking at these larger scale connections between porn, sexual assault, sexual trauma onto children, especially young men, because it's so much more normalized in their culture, you start seeing some really ugly pictures that, when you start being super degrading and disparaging, calling men disgusting and awful for endorsing in a sexual trauma, which has turned into a sexual traumatic coping mechanism, you start really sounding like a fucking bitch.
That's what a porn addiction is. It is not a healthy thing. Everybody knows it's not a healthy thing. But, I mean, you have the absolute fucking right to not want to date an alcoholic. You have the absolute fucking right not to want to date a porn addict. You have an absolute fucking right to not want to date someone who eats the fucking couch cushions because they just can't not. But it's a lot more understanding of a situation than a lot of people make it out to be.
It's the hardcore strong arm that just, like, men with, like, sexual problems are evil really pisses me off, because 99% of sexual problems most of the time don't come from nowhere. They just don't.
Yeah.
Men sexual, the big ties between sexual assault for men and sexual perversion is very and sexual, like, trauma from porn is very similar to how women react to being sexually traumatized. There's just extra additives. When a lot of AFAB or women are sexually traumatized, or people who are just in general labeled as, like, feminine in our culture, there is this following of this, like, cultural standpoint of basically, like, victimization, and then it turns into either a sexual repulsiveness or a hypersexuality. And this comes along with a completely different way that they deal with hypersexuality, leaning a lot of times, a lot of AFAB lean into, like, hoe phases or, you know, sluttiness, because they start trying to romanticize the things that have been negatively sexually affecting them. And I speak from experience, that have been negatively sexually, like, affecting them, and try and make it something that they can have control over. And that's a very common trauma response. And it's not good for them, for a lot of people around them. It's not healthy. It can put both their mental health and physical health at risk. This being said, you know, AFAB, femme people who get it and go around and, you know, have fun, completely fine. But there's, like, healthy ways to do it, and then there's healthy, unhealthy ways to do it that are born out of sexual trauma, not of an actual desire to, like, explore yourself. And that is, like, the large key difference. With men, when a man, like, a lot of times when you have a man or AMAB who gets sexually traumatized at an early age, they will respond either with sexual repulsiveness or more commonly hypersexuality, because unsexual men is a weakness in our culture. It is seen as odd, out of the norm.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Growing up, I always thought that, like, just not doing it was looked down upon by everyone.
There's this whole entire thing with virgin and purity culture where men are completely excused out of it. Not just excused out of it so they don't have to deal with it, but they are supported. When a man, like, when a man goes around and has a lot of sex, they are pinnacles of their community.
Older men don't fucking realize how predatory they are to younger men, younger boys. Even if they would never fucking touch the kid, not like, I don't know, I'm not gay, but they would 1,000,000% fucking peer pressure a kid into doing sexual acts with a girl. Like, they just will. They, like, whether it's, like, subtle, like, hey, like, I encourage you to go over there, get your dick wet. It's, like, something I've heard.
Great example of this is the just disparity up until very recently between AFAB being groomed and AMAP being groomed.
Mm-hmm.
AFAB, a girl who gets groomed by a 25-year-old man when she's, like, 16, that's awful, that's gross, that's pedophile, everybody recognizes that pretty quickly, but still somehow the guy's not going to get any jail time for it, because he's a young, upstanding man.
He can turn his whole life around, you know?
Then as soon as it's, like, a young 15-year-old boy with, like, a 30-year-old woman, like, he's fucking getting it, he's a playboy, there's this whole entire shift in culture, up until relatively recently when there has been more calling out of that, which has been good, but people don't understand that it's an extremely similar response, just the culture shifts, and when men are having sexual issues, and they're already being pushed to deal with these sexual issues by being more sexual because the culture around them is inherently very sexual, then they're going to lean into hypersexuality. And then we have the entire issue about how the prime emotions that are valued by other men in men's culture is anger and aggression and control and power and taking you what you want and having all these, like, ideologies of just in general aggression. You combine that with hypersexuality, hypersexual trauma, an extremely sexual culture that is promoting you to get with women and look at them as lesser. You get sexual aggression. It's just people don't realize so much sexual aggression is a, and genuine sexual assault is a sexual trauma response.
Yeah, it's the largest piece of evidence that this world is just, like, a horrendously sexist society, like America.
Mm-hmm.
Because like if you look at the media, you'll have a 15-year-old boy, 15, 16, whatever, fantasizing about an older woman. And you'll see, like, the fantasies. You'll see her, like, unbutton a shirt in, like, a movie or something like that. And then he'll, like, snap out of it. He'll be, like, drooling and shit. And it's like, haha, that's hilarious. But then you see a 15, 16-year-old girl in the same situation having fantasies about a 30-year-old man, like, the older man, the teacher. A target's immediately put on that person's head as they all unanimously decide that that person is the one with, like, the responsibility to do better, and they are, but that's just, like, immediately, like, known. It's, like, put into people's heads that that older man is now in a fucked up position, whereas that older woman is just like, you know, I hope the guy gets some, you know? it's fucking bullshit.
It's damaging on both ends.
And it's not enough to just say it. It's not enough to just hear it and agree with it. Like, you have to internalize that idea and, like, understand that it is genuinely fucking equal, because that 15-year-old boy and that 15-year-old girl are going through the same fucking issue of an unhealthy attraction to someone who is much older than them.
Well,
could have very similar experiences that are causing this. Or it could just be completely fucking natural, because it is natural.
It's
still bad of a concept.
it's never something that's going to fully go away because of the, just like, we will always have semi-sexual media, even semi-sexual media that's more appropriate for children to watch, that will address adults and kids. And there's healthy ways to tackle those, like, feelings and relationships that can be talked about with children. But, like, the main thing here that I'm trying to hit on is that the toughest pill to swallow that this all boils down to, and this is coming from someone who's been repeatedly sexually assaulted my entire life by men, is sexual assault is very often, not always, very often something that stems from a societal, cultural, sexual trauma that a lot of the men who do sexual assault are using it as a coping mechanism. And that's, like, really fucking hard to, like, get with. And it's not something I think everybody should, like,
yeah,
believe, or, like, even, like, not necessarily believe, but, like, think about, because it's unhealthy, especially if you're a sexual assault survivor. It's not an easy pill to swallow. It's not one that everybody needs to, but it is a truth.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Even though, like, it's understandable to ignore that because you think that someone who did wrong doesn't deserve to get better. That's genuinely how a lot of people feel.
I mean, some people who have sexually assaulted do not deserve redemption in a legal sense or a public mind sense. But the thing about it is, you want sexual assault to stop happening. You've got to start by addressing the sexual issues that a lot of sexual assault stems from.
Yeah.
And the only way you can address these issues is, one of the big ways you can address these issues is by understanding sexual assaulters to begin with, understanding the cultural issues, and you're gonna have to help, not necessarily sexual assaulters, but predatory, sexually aggressive men who have the possible ability to become one.
There's a reason the frat chad, like, trope exists. The rape a party girl at college trope exists, and it's not just because it happens all the fucking time, but it's also because there are people out there who do it and continue to do it and will never fucking realize they're in the wrong, because it is normalized for there to be sexual emotional ignorance.
And it's not even just that, it's that the people who do talk about these issues, who start talking about these issues at all, usually do it in destructive ways. Sorry to say it, I personally am a feminist, obviously, for obvious reasons, but so much of the feminist community, and so much of the specifically anti-porn feminist community, just says shit in the worst way. You're just, when you start going off degrading men who are also being afflicted by the same issues as you are, who are also afflicting the issues on you that you're dealing with, and you start going off and just degrading the generalized sense of them in specific ways, the, you know, fuck all men, whatever, I don't give a fuck, like, I hate all men, that's fine, it's passive, it's not. But when you specifically go and target things that men have to deal with that do have consequences into your life, but also have consequences into theirs, you're just dividing them, and the only people who are going to fucking agree with you, the only people you're educating, quote-unquote, to, are people who will already agree or know what you're talking about. You're only reaching out to other people in your community. You are creating an echo chamber. You are doing absolutely nothing for the benefit of anybody except yourself.
It's not even the benefit of themselves. It's just, like, a momentary relief thing.
Yeah, and I get that. If that's what you want to do, if that's, like, what you're about, all more power to you. You have, as AFAB, because I'm trans, and I very much identify with the, like, female life that I've lived despite being trans, which is not the, like, most common notion, but anyways, that's a different conversation. If you are a woman and you've dealt with sexual trauma and you have a general, really big distaste for men, the culture, and all of this, and you are outspoken with that with your friends and your peer group, and you just don't want to be around men a lot of the time, except for a few that are just, like, they're okay with being around that rhetoric because they are, you know, more open-minded, understanding of your position, stuff like that, you have every fucking right to be. I'm a strong believer. You don't need to say things that make people happy. You don't gotta be nice to everybody. You don't have to make everybody happy. You don't have to say the most woke ass shit and be the most nuanced motherfucker. Like, I try to be, but that's like more of a compulsive, my own issue thing. You don't have to do that.
But at some point, you do have to understand yourself and what you're saying and how it affects.
I highly suggest it, yeah. You don't even have to do that. Not everybody has to fix the issues in our world. Not everybody has to be this, like, voice for people. And if you, what you need to know is you need to recognize that I'm an unhappy person with this entire group of people because of very valid reasons. And I don't want to be an educator. I don't want to be a fucking spokesperson. I don't want anything to do with it. So I'm just not gonna be. A lot of people, I feel like, have this entitled right to just go online and just say shit they want to say. And you're free to do that, sure. But, like, you also got to realize that you're kind of damaging the things that you're trying. You don't want to be damaged. Because even if you don't want to be that person who's has any responsibility for this, as soon as you go onto a platform, get any amount of audience, or just put anything out there, you have the likeliness of drawing thousands, if not millions, of people to listen to what you're saying. And that is something that I think people need to have more responsibility for. There's something called a digital footprint that exists for a reason. There's this education about, like, don't be stupid online. Well, that needs to be extended. Don't just be stupid online, be responsible online.
Yeah, so to, like, clear up that, like, complete 180 of what you were saying, where you said more power to them and then you told them that they should have more responsibility.
No, I said you...
More power to them if it's speaking out privately, if it's...
Stop hitting stuff. It's going to pick up on the podcast.
Can't help it.
Yes, you can.
Let's continue. Fuck. I lost it.
What I was saying is that there's more power to people. I don't give a fuck what you do privately. Nobody should give a fuck what you do. But once you start posting it online in an attempt to have people notice, if it's not a private account, if you're on a big platform, you're automatically being assumed that you're trying to have people who you don't know see. Like, that's just, like, the obvious. If you make a post on TikTok and you don't have a private account, you're at the hopes that other people are going to see this, even if you're realistically thinking nobody will. You need to be responsible for what you post. And if you are someone who is part of a community, part of an activist community, but not somebody who wants to be a leader, an educator, an outspoken, because you can be a feminist without wanting to be, like, an educator or an outspoken person. You can agree with the ideals and you can agree, hey, I want these issues that made what happened to me happen. I want those fixed so it doesn't happen to other people. But I don't want to have to, like, I'm going to support you from afar. But I'm not gonna, like, be on top there. I don't want to be the educator. I'm not responsible. I don't know what to do with that, which is a lot of people. You don't also then just go around and just start saying the angry shit that you want to say, because literally everything gets picked up online. I just post get dragged from the fucking depths of the darkest areas of the internet to be used as cannon fire towards these different political groups.
Yeah, people vote with their words on how culture's going to shift, like how people are going to feel in the future.
And people need to have more responsibility for that. If you're a young woman who has some extreme issues with men because of very valid reasons, I'm horribly sorry, and you have every right to feel the way you do, and your anger's completely justified. But at the same time, that does not make you inept from the social consequences. You going around and spreading your one-sided, unnuanced hate to people who potentially are going to listen and take that information and use it to submit their own opinions, which these are the same people who will vote, who will help make options, who will be part of this community and voice the general direction of what it's going to be. You don't get to just do that willy-nilly. I mean, you do. You just also get to be held fucking responsible for saying some bullshit. I'm very, very passionate about responsible internet usage, especially when it comes to political activism, because there is nothing that in recent years has done more damage than a few fucking idiots going online with their extremist opinions who have absolutely no want or desire to be really imperative to the community with their opinions or lead anything, who just want to fucking say shit, and that shit gets picked up by CNN, Fox, or just some other big group of media, and now this entire other largely conservative group has this fucking idea that this group is just this one way, and it paints everything as a bad picture, and it just ruins everything for everybody, and it's just this whole entire fucking systemic issue. We gotta work outside of this group. So now every single time I fucking talk to a cis white fucking man about feminism, they think I'm automatically a TERF who wants to stab them and cut their dick off. Like, what? And, like,
yeah,
burn it for Athena.
That's only after the second date.
Yeah. And it's just like, that. Those tropes didn't come out of nowhere, bitch. They came from other fucking TERFs who claim to be feminists, who a lot of people are like, shut the fuck up to, but they existed, and we as a community, in this goes for feminism, LGBTQ especially, holy shit, the garbage fire that comes out of that community, and I am fiercely gay and queer, and just like, all the bullshit that comes out of some of these communities that are trying to, like, social reform, just in general, left wing, is just, wow, you should never say that.
We shouldn't have an identity group and a political group be, like, considered the same.
That's not possible.
And they just very often are, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like saying that, like, black people are the only people who, like, who are associated with the civil rights movement, which, unfortunately, very largely is. But that's not how it was. That's not how everyone saw it. And so that's how change happened, is because it was a universally understood thing that many people want civil rights for everyone. And then shit happened. But when it's someone that you're looking down upon, if it's a group of people that want to change something, they can't just act like they're the only ones who have this opinion and act like they're the only ones who
I really
have
a distaste for any content creator, whether their ideologies align with mine or not, who goes on their platform and will just, even jokingly or not, degrade the opposite group that their ideologies conflict with. Whatever group this is, I don't give a fuck what you're talking about. If you do that, you're unproductive. Because the people you need to educate to, and this is for people who claim to be educators, not other people, just people who claim to be educators or want to be like initiators into their communities, which is primarily this is a problem with those people, is I don't give a fuck what you're talking about. I don't give a fuck if I agree or not. Because at the end of the day, the people who need to listen to you, they're not people like me who already agree with you. They're people who don't. They're the opposite group. And when you treat them like shit, they're not gonna listen to you. So who are you talking to? What are you saying? Who are you talking to? Yourself? Is this just your ego boost? You're not doing anybody any help. You're just being like, oh, men suck. Or, oh, haha, fuck the straights. Right? And it's just like, everybody else is like, yeah, fuck them. And then the straight people who are, like, kind of homophobic are now like, well, fuck you too. You don't like me for no reason. Well, fuck you. I don't like you for the reasons you don't like
you. You're not better than I am. You're no better.
And it's like, even though you have valid points, even though you're saying the right shit, if you're not saying it the right way, nobody's gonna listen.
Yeah.
I know this from experience. I have had, I've said this to you, but I'm saying this to them. These motherfuckers who are listening. I've had full-blown conversations that have lasted like 4+ hours with conservative, Trumpy-loving fucking white men, alright? And I have spent 4 very patient hours, more than anybody should spend on these people, realistically. But I did it because I am crazy. And I spent that whole time being respectful, being nice, but not being a fucking pushover, and explaining and dissecting their viewpoints and explaining to them what I actually meant and what, like, leftist ideologies I appealed to, what were unique to me, and what they actually meant. And at the end of the time, I could, like, 8 out of 10 times, get these white Trump-loving men to not only agree with me on the core fundamental things of the things that I wanted, but largely agree with how I wanted them to happen. Everything from how our taxes should be spent to fucking police reform. I've gotten Trumpy-loving whores to fucking be okay with police reform and in the ways that I want it. Because it's a conversation I have with them. I take their ideologies, I take their concerns, because a lot of times they're fairly valid, they're just uneducated. And I take them and I listen to them and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I figure out what their actual issues, usually have to educate them out of that not being the reality.
Yeah.
And I don't treat them like ass. I don't tell them, hey, you're wrong, fuck you, racist,
hey, you're
homophobic.
Stupid.
Yeah. A lot of the times, now this is not always something that works. I've got like deeply religious people, especially Christian, are usually a lot more difficult because they have less reasons. And like, I'm somebody who has, sorry, I'm like, yeah. like a great example of the shit that I like hold true to myself is I'm somebody who has a fuck ton of religious trauma, and I outwardly, absolutely, personally, not outwardly, but personally, fucking hate the Christian God. Hate him. Hate him in theory, hate him in practice, not Jesus, Jesus is cool. Hate the Christian God with a fucking passion. But I've also defended Christians and Christianity from leftists who were quoting the Bible and not knowing what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah.
Because I would never do that on a I would never, like, actively, like, explain in detail my qualms with the Christian God that are very personal to me, my personal anger, on any platform. Now, I'll mention them here to prove a point, to articulate what I'm trying to, like, get across. Because this is
you're
this.
Not explaining it. You're
yeah.
just like.
I'm telling you what it is. Like I'm adamant too. Like we want to get
yeah.
into it. I still have a lot of trauma that I'm having to unwork with my anger towards cis men. It's still an issue I deal with. I'm not fucking above it. And sometimes we have issues purely because I'm responding traumatically, having a trauma response, having a meltdown, having a panic because of what's happened to me. I'm not fucking perfect, but I would never post it. I've trained myself to never want to post anything when I'm in those moments. When I'm having those moments. When I'm having those responses. Because it's not appropriate. Because I want to be an educator. And this is a video for my, like, leftists, for our leftists. This is not for service. This is an outreach towards the leftist community that wants to educate as well. And how you need to fucking do things better. Like, badly. I'm not gonna name any content creators, though. At some point, I maybe would want to do that. I don't know. I don't want to know if I'd ever want to call out people. But if it ever got too bad, I'd probably want to.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a platform to do that much on. We got, like, what, 25 plays on one of our videos? Which is good. I'm impressed by that, honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't even think you'd get one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so silly, because I know so much, like, it's just so obvious that we get more. It just seems so obvious, babe. We're awesome.
Okay.
You're hot.
That's true, but people don't know what I look like.
That doesn't matter.
I sound sexy.
We're gonna draw fan fiction of us one day.
Not just
based
me.
Off of our voices.
Just me. You're gonna be voyeuring.
Like Jaden Animations.
Okay. So,
very bad situation. Have you heard about the Jaden Animation situation?
No, let's not bring that up.
Well, I already brought it up.
Well, if we're gonna...
So...
I don't want to talk about other content creators on here. I just said how I didn't want to name drop.
We're not calling him out. That's not something... That's not something... This is a genuine issue that you haven't heard of, so this is
important. Okay, fine.
Jaden Animations is the, like, comic creator.
I know who
Jaden
Animations
yeah, yeah.
is. I watched him as a kid.
Her subreddit... Her official subreddit has less, like, subscribers and viewers, like, almost a tenth as much as the fan porn subreddit of hers. Like,
so gross.
Of Jaden Animations. People have taken Jaden and, like, made her, like, a Meru the Succubus level figure in their communities.
That's so gross.
And there is more drawn porn now officially of Jaden's character than there is of Jaden having drawn herself out there on the internet.
That's awful. That brings me up into the next point. That actually brings up a point.
Exactly.
Shut up. Of content creators not taking as much shit from online communities. And online communities and fan bases around content creators need to be so much less fucking entitled. It bothers me so much. So many content creators, this goes from people who write books to people who post on YouTube, so many of them just take so much shit up the ass from their communities because there's just been this, like, taught kind of mentality that because your media is being ingested, your creative media is being ingested, that you owe your community. And I kind of get it, because, yeah, they're the one ingesting it, they're the one who's, like, producing it, but it's become so imbalanced. Communities also need to fucking realize that if you genuinely enjoy a person's content, like, where the fuck would you be without it? Like, I was thinking about this the other day, like, where the hell would half of our time when we sit and eat together be without Markiplier? Where would it be? Not in as good of a place.
Probably, like, rewatching Camp Camp or something.
It wouldn't be as good. And no. Where would it be without Camp Camp? I'd be a lot sadder without Camp
you
Camp.
Would be,
I would be a very sad person without Camp Camp.
You would have had a childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Camp Camp.
You think about the content that was revolutionary for you as an individual. Now think about that not being there. That'd be a sad world. And that, like, to me, that's always poised me as someone who really respects the content creators that make shit. I hate it when people act entitled to any content creator's material. Or even when they act like, when a content creator's, like, frustrated about something, maybe even a little petty that their community's doing, and they're just, like, not happy with it, and people are like, you can't be fucking upset with us. We're your fucking community. We don't have to be watching your shit. Or, like, especially, like, on book reviews and stuff like that, when a book writer is not happy or thrilled about some of the critique or advice they got, or watching their books and things that they poured their entire life on be compared to other books standing next to it so passively. You know, they shouldn't respond aggressively towards these people because, like, critique is, like, something you have to be aware of when you submit to your community. But it's also like, what am I supposed to do? Fucking just take it up the ass and be like, wow, thank you so much for telling me my book is absolute trash. I appreciate that you just shit on my entire life's work. And if I say anything to rebuttal against it, to defend my own work in a possibly not super nice, flowery little way, in a respectful but stern way, you're going to tell me that I should kill myself because I'm ungrateful. Like, what? And that happens so often. Genuinely. Endorsers of content just fucking rate content creators through the mud when they have any sort of pushback with their fandom. And then we start to see shit where content communities walk all over their creators. I've seen it before with, like, 5 different fandoms I've been in. And it's disgusting. And people just act like it's okay, like it's healthy, like it's normal. Like, these content creators owe these communities their fucking blood, sweat, and tears. No, bitch. When I start producing content, when I have stuff out there, I am giving you something. This is a gift. My shit that I'm creating takes time, energy, and especially if I'm putting out for free. You're not paying for this. You are getting free shit. Like, all the YouTube content makers, they're getting paid, but they're not getting paid by you. You are getting free, digestible content that you appreciate. Like, think about all the bitches. Where would they be without Unus Honest? Like, they fucking, so many of them tattooed that shit on them because it was so important.
Yeah.
Where would
yeah.
you be if you fucking disrespected that to the point where it just stopped, like, it didn't happen at all?
Yeah, it stopped at, like, the 6-month mark because people were just being shitty. Like,
and
that
has happened to other things before.
Yeah.
Things that didn't deserve it. Things that didn't deserve, that only got this because some of the content creators were just like, hey, community, I don't like that you're doing this thing. Whether it's making porn of a character or writing fan fiction of one of the creators and shit like that. Where communities just act like they're fucking entitled. Like, you should be grateful that we're ingesting your content. I don't understand that. It's like,
yeah,
for both how I expect to be respected and will demand of it for my content when I produce it, and thusly how I try to respect content creators that I really appreciate, you are giving me a gift. I am receiving the gift of your free content, like Vixie Pop. That Holds Our Hell of a Boss series, that is a fucking beautiful gift.
Oh, yeah.
And I do not just deserve it because I'm on YouTube watching it making money. That's time, effort, blood, sweat, tears. That is so much to go into this beautiful project. I am so thankful for it. And I will appreciate. And if Vixie Pop says, hey, I want you guys to stop making porn of this character because it has this emotional importance to me, or because they're a fucking child, I would be like, yeah, that's fucking right. I mean, the child thing's obvious. But especially if it was like, hey, I don't want you to make porn of my self-insert character, because that's fucking weird, you guys. This is outwardly a self-insert character.
Yeah.
I would be like, well, I didn't see any problem in people looting them before, because they're an adult and stuff like that in a show that's semi-sexual. But now that you said that you have an issue with it, I 100% rally behind you, because this is your fucking content, and you should... It should be respected in a way that makes you comfortable, because you're the one fucking making it, and I don't want it to disappear because everybody deludes you out of wanting to make it.
Yeah, people can't just go up to someone's, like, imagine someone has, like, a Ryan Reynolds cutout, like a cardboard cutout. Like, Ryan Reynolds goes and starts selling, like, cardboard cutouts of himself. And people start doing, like, little doodles and stuff like that, putting them in hats and shit like that. They're like, oh, that's adorable. And then people start fucking sticking, like, dildos and fake tits on him and then putting them outside of their house. And then there's just, like, just everywhere across Hollywood all of a sudden is just cardboard cutouts of Ryan Reynolds with dildos and fake tits on. That would be really fucked up. And if Ryan Reynolds were to be like, I don't like that, people shouldn't fucking bash him for that. That is
people's content is synonymous with their identity.
Especially Jaden Animations, who's only known online by her avatar.
Yeah, it's extremely destructive. Content creators are synonymous with their content and thusly synonymous with their community. The amount of content, like Undertale, amazing game.
Yeah.
That so many people refuse to play and just absolutely thrashed on because the community was gross.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure Toby Fox didn't give a fuck. He didn't give a fuck because he was still making bank, and that's fine, but that, like, solely alone...
It's the biggest reason why I haven't seen any content of Deltarune at all. We'll never play it, because...
Edsworld was something that I was personally a part of later on. Edsworld was so bad that several of the voice actors who the characters were roughly based on left because their full names were being used in full graphic gay porn. Or one of them, who was at voice acting tour, my favorite character in the earlier run, left because he was being sent death threats and peer pressured, and basically because he wasn't doing what the fandom wanted or some shit. And so they basically decided to online harass, threaten, bully him till he left the show. And that's fucking disgusting. It was an entire piece of content that was raked through the mud by an awful early online community. And thankfully, the, like, revitalization for, like, the finale after Ed passed was, like, really good and really well done. And I'm pretty sure they're still continuing the project. But...
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. It's just, like, really, really awful that that's normalized and allowed. And whenever people talk about it, they don't talk about, like, wow, that poor content creator, or wow, those people are so disrespectful to content creator. They're just like, haha, gross fandom. So
yeah.
Gross content.
Or wow, it sucks that's not a thing anymore. And then just don't care about, like...
It's really disparaging as a content creator. If people start doing shit that I don't like, I'll fucking beat them. And I'm okay with a lot. Like, I'm going to be very openly okay with things. All my content's going to have... All the, like, sexual characters are obviously going to be all adults. And I'm going to be fine with people being into them and writing fanfic around them and looting them, because that's okay. And that's something I'm okay with. And that's great. But I'm going to be very expressively, outwardly okay with that, too. I'm not going to, like...
Yeah.
But I'm also going to... like, make sure that it is people who produce lewd content are doing so in a way to keep away from kids.
Yeah.
That's also something really important that I'm going to mandate as much as I can. But that's aside the point. content creators need more fucking respect, and content endorsers need to stop being so fucking entitled.
Yeah, you would think with how much people just, like, idealize famous people in general.
It's not out of respect.
It's never out of respect. It's always out of fetishization, whether it's sexual or not. It's 100% pedestalization. It is objectification.
Mm-hmm.
When people enjoy something, they objectify it because
it's more like
a monkey brain. But
it's very American thing. It's not necessarily as common outside the States, from what I've heard.
I have no clue. From what you've heard, yeah, you haven't been out of the States though. So
no, I have friends who lived out of states.
Yeah,
and I've had these conversations with them. I've never been out of states, no, but.
I haven't.
Anyways.
I'm just being real.
So, you heard about the dicks?
You heard about Pluto? Pretty messed up, right? Anyways, I think that's it for this episode. It's like 40 minutes.
See, papi.
So, this is last.
This is
your Huckleberry.
Seven Cosmos from Anne Groey Art Marker Brand and Cal.
Just shut up.
And listen. I love pissing them off. I love pissing.